as the London nights grew cold. The only thing that kept them going was the sea. And knowing that millions of packers were listening to them every night with the same vision.
I tell my friends, but they think I've lost it anyway. That this is just a passing phase. And the running will wither down to the place I'm supposed to go. In the lines I'm supposed to know. I haven't yet figured out. They all look at me. They let me go and they watch me. Time I'll try to be more beautiful and more amusing. But why can't you just be cool? Why do you have to lose it?
Oh yes, that was the song taken from Maylene, which is a popular tune that was first demoed and taken by WelcomeToTheScene.com, which I've just utilized for creative effectiveness for Hacker Voice Radio. Welcome to episode 61, but as Planet says to me today, it's not really. We are on the 15th of November 2002. Yeah, it looks like, well, you know, I've known this since episode 30. Or was it really episode 30? We don't know. I fucked up the episode numbering during most of the shows. From then on, everything was kind of weird. And I kept to a kind of standard numbering system. The reason being is probably because one of the episodes I was pissed or I was half awake and just numbered it wrong and either missed out an episode and skipped it, and we kept on going with that system. So I don't know, we're somewhere out of sync with these episodes, but I don't know, I guess we'll just keep on going the way we are and write off season one somehow and say this is the start of season, whereas season two is perfect and there is no errors as far as that goes. Kind of, yeah.
We're about two episodes out in the numbering.
Yeah.
So this is like 59. If we follow on from season one,
yeah,
then this is episode 59.
And and if we're counting from season one, we're halfway between season two now, as we're in 20 episodes into season two. So basically, we're halfway through. It doesn't feel like it. It feels like we're nearly there at the end of season two for some reason. But I guess it's me going crazy.
I don't know, yeah. Well, we've done quite a lot already.
Yeah.
With the interviews, and I think that's what makes it feel like we're quite far into it.
That's right. We've done so much more work than we have on season one as far as content and quality goes. Which is good, because what we're doing is we're improving on what we did, and we definitely are. I mean, you can't, but no doubt, improving on season one most by far. And I think, fucking, if we only released one episode, I think 11th of November one would stand up by itself for entire season, because it was such an incredible, it was such an incredible feeling, especially for me, and for you and the whole team. As like an amateur radio station would go, I think it was fantastic.
Absolutely, it is probably my favourite. Yeah. Having listened back to many, if not all, of the episodes.
Yeah.
Normally about four or five episodes behind in listening back to them, and you know, thinking, ah, we did that wrong. Ah, we could have done that better. And I've fucked the cables up again.
Yeah.
You
know. Oh, man.
We're
hoping...
11th of November.
Yeah. Hopefully moving on from that by far. Now, there's some interesting stuff in the news. I don't know if any one of you listeners is a regular drug enthusiast.
I'm on crack!
Some hype about methamphetamines. Crystal meth. This is a drug that is can be basically manufactured with one of those chemistry kits you can buy from Argos for like £19.99.
Okay. Cool.
It's a highly addictive, highly damaging drug. The actual producing of the drug can kill you if you're not careful. Smoking it releases toxins in your body that pile up and are released through sweat, which accumulate on your face and arms and under your armpits and stuff, which basically crystallize on your face. What you know, the takers of the drugs do is they rip these crystals out of their skin and smoke that because it's much stronger. And it gives you a sensation of small ants crawling underneath your skin. And you'll find that many crystal meth smokers have scabs or patches of flesh removed from their arms because they've been constantly scratching away at this at these parts of their body. I'd advise anyone to keep the fuck away from this thing. It's something that's supposedly hitting the London scene, mainly the London gay clubber scene now, which is just complete bollocks because it's been here for quite a while. It's been meth has been around for many years. It's something that's plagued US for quite a long time as well. It's a very easy drug to manufacture. That's why it's so popular. It's very addictive. So the whole kind of thing, you know, the business side of it is great. If you can manufacture it with household products, you really literally manufacture the stuff with household products. All you need is some cold medicine, some fucking paint stripper, some ethanol, some iodine, some phosphate, and some phosphorus. That you can basically take off the strip of matchboxes. If you scrape that off, that's one of the ingredients as well. I'm not telling you how to make it, I'm just saying, if you want to fucking, you can find out how to make this shit, and it's fucking deadly. So I'm just saying, you know, because it's such a readily-available thing to be able to manufacture, I'd advise everyone to keep the fuck away from it and stay with fucking, if you want to do something, man, do something that's come from the earth, that's natural. And I'm talking about the good old fucking greens, man. So, yeah. Keep the fuck away from it. Yeah, definitely keep the fuck away from that. It's chemical. It's nasty, man. It's toxic. And it's a bad day to be Sony, according to US Today article. Sony's a seller of conventional rootkit. They've been blacklisted by Windows, so any... it's a fucking security risk from the start, so basically what Microsoft is saying from their point of view is, if we find it, we'll blacklist it, and we're taking a step. We're dedicating developers, code writers, to actually safely remove your rootkit. Not only is it just like a hole to your computer, it also allows numerous security flaws to be exploited on the box, so it's just crazy. I mean, I think Sony should really hardcore like beating, either physical or in the courts. I don't care, as long as they get a beating for this.
They should be made to answer for it, and I think this is definitely a step in the right direction, because what we've got going on at the minute is the people taking them to courts, such as the EFF, and also, as you say, Microsoft have come forth and said, yes, this is something that falls under our spyware, malware kind of division, and we're taking a stand against it. It will be in the next update of Microsoft anti-spyware beta thing.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so not, it's they're not, sorry. Trying to take it off your machine.
Sorry, it's actually left beta now.
It is.
Yeah,
right.
It's left, if you want to call it beta.
I'll call it what the fuck I want.
I'm just fucking around with you. Darling, it's pronounced beta, don't you know?
You knew.
Sorry, I just wanted to point that out. It's left beta, so yeah. Carry on.
Weird, because I downloaded it yesterday and it's still beta on.
Weird.
Anyway, so it's good that Microsoft are not just shunning it and saying, oh, well, you know, if that's what they want to do. They have come forth and said this is a flaw in the Windows system and therefore we're going to stop it. So that's one of the cool things. And like you were saying, Sony do deserve a slap for this. I'm glad to see a big corporation such as Microsoft taking at least a little bit of a stand against it.
Oh,
not a massive one, but I'm just glad they're not all banding together in a, you know, corporate circle jerk and saying, yeah, fuck the users, you know? Yeah,
definitely. Have you heard of a company called Spymon?
No, man.
They produce, man, a commercial keylogger. What's happening is that they're trying to stop vendors from security software such as, I don't know, let's say, fucking spyware, adware companies that basically remove any sort of stuff from the system, antivirus software, anti-spyware publishers and developers. In the EULA, the End User License Agreement, it prohibits any spyware publishers or software developers from downloading, running or examining the software in any way, shape or form. Essentially, they're trying to hide a keylogger behind corporate law. So basically, from there, I mean, it might be a little bit confusing to understand here, but what they're trying to do is they're trying to commercialize. They're trying to have a commercially viable keylogger product that enables the user to purchase this keylogger, install it on anybody's machine, and essentially log anything that's going on. Now, the only way they can do this is so that no other anti-spyware, anti-Trojan, anti-blah-blah-blah company blacklists them. So, obviously, if you bought this product, installed it on somebody's computer, and were trying to, you know, do what you want to do, spy on them, their fucking antivirus prompter would go, you know, I'm going to quarantine this because, you know, obviously, so they can't sell the product like that. So they've tried to stick in the EULA a way to stop that from happening. Now, the funny thing is, how can you do this under the legalization, if you see what I mean? If that prohibits them from downloading it, then how can you analyze the code? So what's actually happened is that another company has actually done this. They've downloaded the machine, they've downloaded the software, analyzed the code, and blacklisted their keylogger. And what Spymon has done is actually sued the company that has done this. And there's a big row over the coding company of the keylogger and the anti-spyware company for blacklisting it, and how dare you download this and do and break the EULA. Well, how about we just don't fucking care about your law? And, you know, it's like essentially covering up somebody else's illegal deeds under law. And I hope for the sake of many thousands of people out there, many millions of people out there, that this fails and falls flat on its ass in court.
This is very murky water.
Yeah.
Absolutely, because keyloggers, yeah, for the most part, they're generally bad. You could make the defense that they're a valid application in a corporate environment where you need to know what the users are doing.
Mm.
But again, it is still spying on people. Mm.
Oh, fuck.
And yeah, this whole thing with the EULA, where it says if you're part of a virus person or a malware company, you can't download this. Therefore, you can never figure out what it is. If you do figure out what it is, you've obviously broken our agreement, and we'll take it to court.
Mm.
Murky, murky waters. Yeah. I'm just going to sit back and watch the outcome of this, mate, because I think the outcome of this will define a lot of spyware, malware, whether genuine tools or just genuine fucking shite.
I mean, it's like saying, well, you know, I'm gonna go out there, buy this product, so now I can legally spy on you because I've sent you this email. Now, I've seen this kind of type of commercial. You can't call it hacking because this essentially, doing something like this illegally or legally on somebody's computer is by far from hacking. Let's just define that now. If anyone has any doubts, I've cleared them up. Okay. So basically, what's happening here is you're taking the piss. So if I was able to do this to you, and basically I can commercially now, I can embed my keylogger in a file, and I'll send this file to you in an email, going, "Hey, take a look at this. It's some fucking nice hardcore." You know,
and the cornucopia.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like, ooh, example. Nice. So you take a few minutes to take a look at this, and you enjoy what you're looking at. unbeknown to you, by executing this AVI file, which it probably will be, you've just installed yourself a nice little keylogger that I, legally, have obtained, and legally am allowed to scan everything that you're doing and logging all your passwords. Now, and that's not to say I don't already know your passwords. No, I'm just kidding. But your antivirus, or whatever you may be running, hopefully you're running something. I know you're running something because I've scanned you. No, I'm just... does
I'm
not
scanning my ports.
Does not pick it up, so you don't know what the fuck's going on. Now, let's say 80% of all Windows users don't know what the fuck's going on with their computer anyway. This does not help the general population of Windows users. And it's just ridiculous. Now, another court fuck-up is... this is so good. This is so cool. The Sony rootkit allegedly contains LGPL software, which means that... the Sony DRM software, the rootkit, contains code from a lame MP3 encoder project, which is licensed under the license general public license, which means that the code is open source. However, the code is not distributed, hence breaching the license. Apparently, Sony is violating the policy by installing the backdoor. So they're actually, I mean, they're before just by installing, they're violating an open source license, but they're also violating the license. Well, they're violating every other single fucking law they're put in place to secure your privacy on your machine. And I mean, come on, did these executives sit there? I mean, I hope these executives knew about this. Did they sit there and think, okay, this is high risk. Okay, we're dealing with... I mean, did they think, like, fucking nobody's gonna... Like, we're dealing with like, some really high-speed people, you know? Maybe it might have taken me... I mean, okay, I wouldn't have actually purchased a fucking CD from Microsoft anyway. So, you know, you're sitting there thinking, right, okay, we've got a consumer hack. We're gonna go live with this backdoor, and it's basically gonna install this thing, and, you know, it's gonna ask you for admin rights. Let's just go ahead with it and see what happens. And now it's just biting them in the... It's biting them in right in the ass. I mean, come on. What the fuck is going on with Sony? Seriously.
I would love to know who's responsible for this.
Yeah, there's no way they could have not known that they're breaching the general public license. Because what are they going to do? Like, incorporate the source code to this lame encoder? I mean, come on. Fucking ridiculous, man.
This fuck up just gets better and better, doesn't it? I really thought this would have died down by now, but this is so much more keeps coming out.
The reason it doesn't die down is because people don't want it to die down, and they're just digging more and more into it. I'm sure somebody is just like, I know somebody's re-engineered it, reverse engineered it. Because, well, obviously, they're executing, I think it's XCP. That's the software that they're using for the backdoor. It's just ridiculous. I mean, if anyone doesn't know about this yet, fucking, you know, wake up, man.
Oh, there's plenty of news stories out there where you can find a lot of information about what's going on. Follow their links, and it's one great big clusterfuck of stupidity.
Indeed.
Trying to steal your catchphrase there.
That's all right.
Another thing while we're on Sony is another guy, just an end user, a normal guy. This is reported on theregister.co.uk. He's uploaded onto his blog some research that he's done. Yeah. Now, Sony are saying that there's only 20 CDs out there that use this kind of backdoor copy protection fuck up. But this guy, he's gone through a few more. And to date, he's found 47 actual CDs out there on release.
Wow.
All of them released in the last 6 months.
Wow.
So if you have a recent Sony CD, be afraid.
Be very afraid.
Now, one thing he's doing is updating the list as more and more information comes in. He's put a couple of titles up there, and it turned out not to be true, so he's just struck them off the list. And left them on the list, but actually struck through, so he didn't actually see
good lad
what's going on. So very cool information there. Yeah. One of the things when this story first broke was that a lot of the artists weren't very well known, at least to me anyway. I've never heard of half these people. But with the list of the 47 albums, I mean, you got the Foo Fighters on there, you got Ricky Martin, you got Celine Dion, Neil Diamond, Natasha Bedingfield, Kings of Leon, and David Gray, Kasabian, and then a shitload of other people. Now, they're just the ones that I've heard of. So it's not just the obscure CDs that they're trying to sneak this in on, it is some of their bigger releases as well.
Exactly. And
this story gets better.
Ionix has just joined us.
Hello.
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 How's it going, man?
It's going quite well.
The way this thing is, you called me as soon as I got that email you just sent me.
I know, I timed it that way.
Yeah. How's it going?
It's going well.
Cool. I didn't actually expect you to be on the show tonight because you said
you. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm
just. Well, have a nice night then.
I'm not saying that in a bad way. Like, oh, fucking. Oh, it's him again. So I'm going to be spending like 2 weeks with you. I'm only going to start fucking. Yeah, we were just talking about.
I'm sure we could find ways to occupy.
Planet was just talking about the Sony DRM, and it was a blog you found, wasn't it?
Yeah, the actual blog itself is www.idiotabroad.com.
Right.
And that's some guy's personal blog, and he's been doing a little bit more research into this, and has come up with a load more CDs that this crap is on. So it's a lot more widespread than Sony will admit. That's how it's looking at the minute.
I have to say that background is beautiful.
I thought you might like
which
it.
Which one?
Basically, I've commissioned our good friend Ionix produce me a lovely little background, and he's just done himself proud. I really do like it.
Go ahead and forward it to Planet. I'd like him to see it.
Yeah, definitely. It really does say Belial in many more ways than one.
It actually literally does say Belial.
Yeah.
if you look at the binary on the eyeball of the gas mask.
Yeah.
That says Belial.
That's cool, man. I really do like it.
Do you like the caption?
Yep.
For our listeners out there who can't see it, it's a desktop background of a police officer in full riot gear and gas mask. It's a police sniper looking down the scope of his barrel. Done as sort of a negative image, semi-transparent, glowing figure. It has a world map interposed in front of hexadecimal. And there's also a semi-transparent badge for MI5 on it as well.
Yeah. Now, knowing you,
green and black.
Knowing you, that hex actually means something, and it's not just random crap. Now, either you're going to tell me what it is, or I'm going to have to find out myself.
Good luck.
Oh, I know what it says. It says, Belial is the leaked owners of all boxes and stuff.
No, it's actually a PIC microcontroller program for God. I don't even know what it's for.
I'm happy with that. Oh, it's awesome, man! That's definitely going on my laptop very soon. It's currently on my background as we speak on my computer.
Oh, thank you.
It's awesome.
Took me a while, but it works quite nice.
Yeah. Do you have any more news over there, Planet?
I have something in light-hearted news.
Ooh.
Relevant to the UK. Courtesy of our good friends at the BBC. We don't actually have any good friends at the BBC.
But we just like website. To say it.
Yes. and the story is, Blair's Local denied late licence.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, Blair's Local pub won't be part of the new licensing laws. Poor old Blair won't be able to go out after 11 o'clock and get drunk. Now, personally, I think this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Because we have enough idiotic, ill-thought-up,
pissed-up,
bloody laws that they're trying to push through at the minute. We don't need any more. So keeping the MPs off the booze has got to be a good thing.
Yeah.
This is like the closest pub to number 10 Downing Street. And they're not getting part of the new
keep them off
late
the
licensing or 24 licensing.
Definitely keep them off the crystal meth and keep them off the drink as well, man.
Who are we keeping off the drink?
Our MPs.
The government.
The government.
Oh, yeah. Drunk military police, bad. Bad.
So, Ionix, have you smoked any crystal meth in your time?
No, I have not.
I don't know if you're aware of this. For some reason, it's a huge thing now in London. Crystal meth is hitting London hard. It's mainly now in the gay clubbing scene. I had a little rant about it. It's everyone saying, you know, don't do it. Because if you do, you're
fucked. Crystal meth has been like a huge thing in the United States.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's really cheap and easy to make.
Exactly.
Basically, you just take some asthma medicine and you need some propane.
Yeah.
And I think there's a little bit of cinnamon.
Yeah.
And, but
a little bit of black pepper.
Problem, mostly because
seasoned with some olive oil.
50 degrees. It's been a huge, tremendous problem amongst youth and amongst crazy rednecks.
Yeah.
Mostly because it's cheap. And it's like the new crack, you know, it's beer.
I mean, it's...
I have to second the thought to stay the fuck away from it.
Yeah, definitely. As far as it being... compared to crack cocaine, it's a much more hardcore drug because it keeps you high for about 4 hours, whereas crack only lasts... It lasts about 5 minutes, something like that. Not too long, you know. Depends on how high you want to get, and it only lasts a few minutes. Whereas this stuff, it will keep you high for about 4 hours, and it will fuck you up seriously. Like you will turn out to be the most hardcore fucking zombie ever. Like bits of flesh will be falling off you. Your mouth starts to rot. Your nose literally starts falling off your face. Your face starts to disintegrate. Your forehead is covered with crystal residue. It's fucking crazy stuff, man. So, you know, I hope to God that nobody of our listener group would ever consider doing anything like this. But yeah,
just saying that
we strongly urge again.
Yeah. Sorry, Planet.
Wow.
You were going to say something.
I was just going to go into my little Grain Chill theme tune thing there and go, just say no. No. Just say no. This is our anti-drugs episode.
Yeah.
Kids, wisen up. No drugs.
Exactly.
Just computers. That's all.
Yeah. And a bit
of smart.
Bit of green.
Really?
Which you can buy from Belial.
Yeah. It's selling on eBay right now, along with the shipment of DVDs, T-shirts, stickers, custom gear, custom molding plates for your soap bars, custom grinders for the buds. You can have your very own handle on a plant pot. We're selling seeds straight from Jamaica.
Hacker voice bongs.
Um, Hacker Voice hypodermic needles for your hardcore for your hardcore people out there. All kinds of stuff. That was just a joke, by the way.
It can be patented HVRE pills.
Yeah. Our little logo and a little fucking ecstasy pill. Oh, man. I'm surprised you go down to...
Hacker Voice Ale.
Yeah. Hacker Voice Beer. More hardcore than any other beer. It's actually glowing green.
It will own you.
Yeah, it will own you. Oh, man. You walk down, like, Camden, and you find, you know, stalls selling mushrooms, poppers, all that kind of stuff, openly. And I'm thinking, man, that's fucking crazy, because the last thing you want to be taking is, like, something like poppers. That's grade A fucking paint stripper stuff. I'd be much more happy them selling something more mind-blowing, such as, you know, something more humanly friendly. Like a nice little bit of green, you know? There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah.
As long as you...
I
mean, what would you rather take? You know, a bottle of poppers? Or like, you know, a spliff?
Oh, nice spliff.
Exactly. I mean, poppers, yeah, you'll have a rush and your head will hurt. And if you take so much of it, you might even get addicted to it and you'll just, you know, you'll fucking wipe out. Whereas you get stoned from a spliff, probably not even that much, you know.
Probably get hungry.
You get hungry, you'd love everything. Everything will seem so much more clearer. You'd get
the
these...
The Matrix is so much cooler.
Exactly. The Matrix is much cooler when you're stoned. But apart from that, after the movie, you'd become paranoid schizophrenic. Because you think that you are actually in the Matrix and that everybody's out to get you, and you try and unplug yourself, and then you fall asleep, yeah. And you dream about green pastures and sheep and goats roaming the land freely. Yeah, that's basically the difference between poppers and a nice bit of hash. Yeah, a very narcotic episode tonight.
Apparently. Didn't know what I was getting into.
Oh, well. Just to let you know, man, I'm about to book the tickets.
Sweet.
Yeah. You know, you've still got some time to opt out of this.
Ah, I'm good to go with it.
Like, oh fuck! It's just hit me. What's going to happen? He's gonna actually be here physically with me for like about 15 days. I'm gonna have to endure his talking in real life. I can't press the mute button anymore. I can't fast forward.
You son of a bitch.
That says it all.
You know, I was talking about myself there. Not about you.
No.
That's a whole load of other beans, man.
Yeah. No, it's going to be fun. We'll do a couple day trips.
Definitely.
It's going to be a good time.
Mm. We'll go sightseeing, you know. All that kind of stuff.
Yeah. It'd be fun. Just hack the planet.
So.
Oh, in a bit of hack the planet news.
Yeah.
I've gone out and rented the DVD of Hackers.
Okay.
Going to force my fiance to watch it.
Yeah. Actually, I might watch it tonight again.
Every once in a while, I get a craving for it.
Yeah, it's
like
weird, isn't it? Yeah, it's kind of like crack, isn't it? You get that craving for it, and nothing else will satisfy that craving until you've got the hit of Hackers again.
Yeah.
And then for some reason you get that low feeling after you've watched it. And you get that, you know, that feeling that,
you just feel dirty.
Yeah, you feel dirty, like you shouldn't have done it, and you know, you get the come down. The come down's really hard. And that's where the addiction starts, you know. You have to go for something more stronger. So you watch Hacker's Operation Takedown, and that gives you a slightly higher buzz. But then the come down of that is even worse. You're like, they ruined the whole thing. Oh, it hurts so much. And then you go watch, fucking Antitrust. And it's comical, and it gives you that comical edge to it again, and maybe you get a higher buzz. But then that come down is even worse, because then you realize that there's not much more else better than this out there. So
the next thing you know, you're watching like hardcore Discovery documentaries.
Exactly. And you're typing away on IRC describing how bad these movies are, maybe even write a blog or two, and after you know it's gone too far, you've lost your family, your friends have ostracized you, and there is no end to the pain. So you take a gun to your head and you blow your brains out. Or is that just me?
I went the rehab route.
You have to go.
It's a slippery slope.
It's
yeah,
a slippery
they now
slope.
Have they now have a substitute. It's kind of like methadone.
Yeah.
But it's Star Trek, the original series.
Right. It's a weaker drug, man. So,
you start doing that as a supplement.
I'd go for the downloading of all the episodes of Family Guy as a kind of. Substitute drug.
I already have them on VCD.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the problem is, you get into that, you really do get that addiction of knowing that you can get anything right now. And once you've got everything that you ever wanted, as far as, you know, like, electronic stuff goes. Exactly. It's like, well, now I'm going to have to wait for these episodes because I've seen everything. And you just start watching complete shit. It's weird. I don't know if that's ever happened to you guys or anyone that's in IRC.
Yeah, it happens to me all the time. Like, let me click on my movies folder. Things that I have on my movies folder that I totally would never have ever watched. Okay, here we go. Dukes of Hazzard movie.
Yeah.
I don't think I would have gone out and rented that one.
No. I mean, like, when it comes down to porn, I stopped downloading porn years ago. Why? Because I got broadband. Why? Because I no longer needed to download anything. I could just stream it straight to my computer. You know, you don't need it anymore. And it's like, there's a cutoff point. There's like a saturation point of how much stuff you can actually take. And I know Planet's going to disagree with me. And maybe he might actually, murder me with a fork on the flight over to New York. because I've said this during my sleep, during that 7-hour flight. And I think that's ridiculous. 7 hours. And I've driven longer than that, shorter distances. You know.
Yeah.
You know
it
what?
Is a rather long
I'm
flight.
Gonna. You know
if
what's
the
gonna
Concorde
suck?
Was still in flight
yeah,
service,
that'd be
that
nice.
Would
man, yeah. You know what would really suck is that jet lag that we're gonna get when we get there. I think what's even gonna the jet lag back is gonna be worse because of like how the time difference is and how it gets dark about 4 o'clock in the afternoon here. Oh man, it's gonna start.
Yeah, I guess same here.
Yeah.
Well, see, it's not gonna be as bad when you come over here as it is when you go back.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I'm thinking.
Because like when you go over here, I imagine you're fairly used to staying up to a decent hour and everything.
Yeah.
So when you first get here, you'll actually be going to bed at a reasonable hour.
Yeah.
Maybe sleeping in a little bit.
Hmm.
But when you get back, man, it's going to be a mind fuck.
Yeah, definitely.
It's going to feel like 4 in the afternoon. It's going to be 9.
Yeah, exactly. And especially going to work again, I'm just going to be so fucked up. Like, I'd probably wake up at like 12 thinking that it's 7 and be like, what? My whole routine, the day will be just
if
like...
If they ask what happened to you, just show them that paintball video.
Yeah.
I'd be like, I was partying with this kid for 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly. Fucking psycho.
Best thing you can do when you're going back is I don't know, come back on a Saturday or something if you've got to be at work on Monday.
Yeah,
don't come back on a Sunday like I did.
Yeah, and then realise...
It'll fuck you up.
I know, that's what I've planned in my schedule, is to have that day of rest, to be able to resync my brain with the time. Like with a PDA that's been out of sync for like 3 days. I don't know why. It's just this geek thing to say. Just like, yeah, I'm going to resync my brain.
Nerd.
Yeah. Oh, thanks. we're gonna have to have a poll on the forums. Who's the nerdiest person out of the Hacker Voice crew?
That's pretty rough.
Ooh, a challenge.
Oh dear.
I don't know. It might just end up being a three-way tie.
Probably. I can't believe I've just slingshotted my fucking USB pen drive across the room. And now I can't get to it.
How'd you manage that?
I was swinging it around in a kind of, like, one of those mace fashions.
That was your first problem.
Yeah. That's where you went wrong first.
In the troubleshooting guide.
Yeah.
Were you swinging it around over your head?
Yes. Click finish.
Did the inertia of the swinging overtake the power of which it was plugged in?
Yes.
Okay. Now that we understand the physics of this, can we figure out a way it might be able to be avoided in the future?
Yes. Is it lodged underneath a wardrobe 6 foot away from you? And the only way you can reach it is with a really long spoon? Yes. Or a coat hanger, maybe. Yes. Oh, man. I wonder what would happen to my laptop if I left it on all day. Sure it'll be alright.
I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. I'm just thinking in my head.
One way to find out.
Yeah, I'm thinking out loud. Yeah, I mean, I might do a little thing right now about the trip. Actually, I'm considering the way I'm going to do this, I don't know how Planet's planning this, is because I don't know how cold it will be there. It's probably going to be really cold. Due to the packaging and everything, what I'm considering to take, which is mainly most of my electronic stuff. Also, I'm going to have to get some sort of, because you run on a weird voltage over there, don't you? You run on like a 1010, something like that?
Yeah, 1010 to 1020.
That's it. It's going to fuck with my electronics, so I'm going to have to get some sort of step downs. So basically, what's going to happen is I'm not actually going to take any clothing. I mean, I'm not saying any clothing. Like, I'm going to go fucking naked. Yeah, good luck. I'm not going to take much.
Well, that'll actually speed up your checks through customs.
Yeah. Well, they have to do the cavity search.
It's like, wow, he's not concealing
anything.
Yeah,
over there, go through, sir. Yeah.
Don't even bother with the metal detector. If it goes off, we don't want to know.
But no, what I meant by that is I'm not taking any, apart from like few t-shirts, jeans, and stuff like that. I'm going to buy all the gear there, because obviously I don't want to take this fucking huge fucking, you know, rucksack of warm clothing. I'll just assess how much heat and cold I will be enduring there, so, you know, I can acclimatise. Obviously it's going to be really cold for the first 3 days, and I just, as soon as I get used to the temperature, I'm going to be alright, so there's no point in carrying like a huge fucking bomber jacket when I'll probably be only wearing it for 2 days over there. So that's what I'm kind of thinking, is to really analyse what I need.
How cold does it get in the winter in London? Because I'm not quite sure you understand.
It gets about -1, -2 with a strong breeze, like really fucking bitter cold.
Okay, let's see. -1, -2 Celsius is about 28 to 30 degrees Fahrenheit.
Yeah.
In January, there's a good chance that some days it's going to be negative 10 degrees Fahrenheit.
Nice. Ooh. Well, I think...
Which is a full 40 degrees Fahrenheit, so you're looking at between 23 and 25 degrees below zero Celsius.
Right, okay. Well, in that case, a definite Gore-Tex jacket will do it. Just a Gore-Tex jacket will do it.
Yeah, the jacket is a good idea, plus it makes a comfy pillow on the plane.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to be like, I'm just going to go there in a fucking t-shirt and be in the middle of New York, like, minus 20 in a fucking t-shirt and, like, die in the first 2 days. I'm saying I'm not going to take, like, my leather jackets, my fucking, you know, fucking, like, military gear to survive. I'm definitely going to take, you know, a Gore-Tex British issue military survival jacket with me. And that's it. And if I feel the need to buy any more, I will purchase that there, because it's just ridiculous to take that over there. And you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like I won't find a shop to buy clothes from. I'll just, it'll be like, you know. So like, you know, like all these kind of things that you really think you should bring, you really don't need, because you can just purchase them there. Disposable things, it's just, you know, stupid to bring them. And I, from many years of traveling, I've realized this. You know, like a few years back, that you really don't need so much of the essential gear that you think you need. You just need things that are essential to the application or to the configuration of the items that you're taking. So yeah, that's one of my methods. I don't know how Planet's going to pack.
I'm taking a few fucking jumpers. It sounds cold.
Yeah.
The only electronic side need to bring is like the mixer, a couple of cables, a mic and shit like that.
Yeah.
So probably be travelling a bit lighter than you anyway, so the rest of it will be warm clothing. It sounds bloody freezing over there.
Yeah.
I'm going to take Ionix's advice, because he lives there, he knows what's going on.
Yeah.
So whatever he says, I'm going to follow that advice.
Sure. Well, I mean, all I'm saying is I know it's going to be really fucking cold. I'm not saying, you know, I don't give a fuck, I'm a hard ass, and you know, cold can't do anything to me. What I'm saying is, there's no point in me bringing the clothes over when I can just assess how much cold I'm going to be enduring and how much I can take, and then customize that to my needs and purchase what I need there, as far as day-to-day clothing goes. But as essential gear, let's say I'm there, I'm stranded because I've missed, you know, the train, or I'm lost, or, you know, I've been, you know, stabbed, or my money's been taken, and stuff like that. I can't do anything. I'm going to need some survival gear there, which, you know, the first thing I'll probably buy is a hand grenade or some sort of, you know, protective weapon. I mean, how would I be able to purchase a defensive weapon such as a knife there? You know, maybe a semi-automatic handgun or something like that.
If we go to Vermont, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Vermont has one of the neatest things. You can walk into a gas station, buy a 12-pack of beer, a firearm, some ammunition, and some gas. And just, you know, go on your merry way.
Excellent. That sounds like a place to live.
No background check. Interestingly enough, they have one of the lowest crime rates of any state in the United States.
No shit, because everybody's fucking packing, man.
And if you're not, all you gotta do is stop by your nearest convenience store.
Yeah. Oh, man. Definitely.
As far as New York goes, if you wanted, like, a semi-automatic or something like that, you'd probably... I mean, as far as a rifle goes, you could go and buy one at Walmart.
Really? Fuck. That's cool.
But if you wanted a handgun, there's a 22-day waiting period and a background check.
Fuck that, then. I'll just buy myself a rifle.
Although, you know, you could go into most Army-Navy surplus stores and walk out with, like, a survival buoy and an extendable baton.
So, I mean, as far as me getting there as a tourist and purchasing myself some defensive equipment, such as a knife, maybe some, maybe a taser, some spray, would I just be able to walk straight into surplus and purchase that?
Yeah.
Excellent.
So you wouldn't be a US citizen, you know, with a registered
people coming
address
into our
or anything.
Country and buying stuff.
Yeah. So it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool. Good luck getting them back home, but
Oh, don't worry, man. I've gotten worse things than that back home.
You could probably just mail them.
Yeah, mail them to myself. A hand grenade and a knife and a gun.
I do customs know a place declaration. You can get
what is it? Nothing.
It's a present. It's a gift.
It's a letter.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Yeah. I'm giving myself the gift of Kaboom.
Yeah. I mean, could you imagine somebody in New York comes up to me, tries to take my wallet, sees that I'm a tourist, and I pull out a hand grenade, and slowly I'm pulling at the pin, and the guy's like, one of us is going to die, and hopefully it'll be both of us. And he's like, okay, this guy is fucking crazy. So he runs away.
Well, one of the fortunate things is that in the area that I'm living in, you're not going to really have to worry about getting mugged.
No, I'm just saying this stuff for comical effect, But,
However, if the lady gives you any shit at the coffee shop about getting an exact change or proper change...
You can blow her head off.
That might come in handy.
Yeah.
What do you mean you can't break a $50 bill?
Yeah. Sir, you're only purchasing a $1
item. I said mocha latte, bitch!
Yeah. Oh, man, it sounds like fun. Sounds like it's going to be a fucking riot.
I'm so glad I'm not going on
if
the
I
same plane
to
as
say
you.
About it, yes, it literally will be a riot.
Yeah. Yeah, Planet just said, he's glad he's not flying on the same plane as me. But you will be arriving 15 minutes after me. So I've got 15 minutes to supply myself with as much ammunition and hardware as I can. And arrive there, like, fully kitted out. An AK in one hand and, like, a fucking assault rifle in the other. Belts of hand grenades.
What, an AK's not an assault rifle?
Well, it's a specialized assault rifle. It's my friend. I'm just standing there at arrivals, and like he comes through arrivals and just sees me there with like fucking those belts
like
that go around
fucking
you.
Fucking Rambo.
Rambo, yeah. Just like with no t-shirt on, just like a fucking. Just jeans on and...
So for some reason you've got like grease smeared across your chest.
Yeah, grease and camo all over my face, along my chest. Standing there going, hey dude, you were late man, what the fuck's going on?
I'm just gonna keep
on
walking.
I think airport security might have a slight problem with that.
maybe.
Although if you want to meet them at the train station, they have no trouble.
Cool, okay. See you on the way there then. Because it's how long do you think it'll take us from New York up to you?
Takes probably about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Oh right, okay, that's not bad. So on the way there,
no, it's not bad.
I can supply myself in stock with as much armament and guns and as much as I can. I think Planet's like, oh, I wish I never agreed to this thing, man. It's gonna fucking kill us both.
Are you fucking
I'm suddenly
kidding me?
Feeling
as soon
Ill.
As he gets here, he's getting himself a grenade launcher.
Yeah. Oh, no, you mentioned it. What's the likeliness of a grenade launcher being purchased in Kmart?
Well, not very good.
Oh, okay.
You see, you need a demolitions permit in order to buy grenades.
Oh, fuck. Damn. What's the waiting list for that? Is it less than 2 weeks? I mean, if I can get it on the last day. Oh, okay.
There's no waiting list.
Okay.
It's just a matter of, like, taking an exam.
Oh, fuck it, yeah. I'll ace it.
Setting up an LLC.
Yeah. I'm sure I can do that in the first 3 days, just, like, ace the exam and, like, do, like, a practical and just, like, have myself a little grenade launcher,
You're like, congratulations, sir. You're now a qualified demolitions company.
Fantastic.
Sweet. It's almost too bad I'm not living in Florida anymore. The gun laws down there were a lot more lax.
Oh, right. Oh, man, it's going to be fun. Come back home with...
It should be.
With, like, shrapnel wounds and a demolition license.
One of the things I do want to do is I want to war walk the state capitol here.
Oh, yeah. And I think us three covering that would especially me and my PDA, don't know what kind of gear you're going to bring as far as laptop and Wi-Fi goes, Planet.
Neither do I, mate. I've got Jackal at the moment.
Let me know if you need anything as far as what I've got and what you might need so that I can kind of lend you or whatever.
I might be hooking it up in the next few days, but cool. It's too early to tell yet.
Sure. Oh, I'm looking forward to this, man. You don't know how much. I might have to wait till the end of the month to actually buy the tickets due to funds and stuff at the moment, because I'm kind of poor. But as soon as I do, I'll hit you up with an email and I'll give you an exact time and date of arrival and everything like that.
I'm going to have to maybe take a few days off from work more than normal.
Yeah. Be able to handle
to keep Belial out of trouble.
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, good morning, Ionix. I'm just out to blow something up. Do you mind?
No. Go ahead. Just do it a few blocks from the house.
Yeah. Oh. Hopefully, I won't get arrested in the first few days.
Yeah, that'd be kind of rough as a non-US citizen.
I'd be fucked.
It gets difficult.
Yeah. I'm just kidding.
Well, I think so long as you keep to like blowing things up in country and rural areas.
Yeah. I'm just kidding. I'm gonna be a good boy. I'm not gonna do anything. I'm just gonna stay indoors and play Xbox all day. Yeah. And watch your American TV.
It would be fun to hit up a 2600 meeting.
Oh yes, yes, definitely, definitely. But oh man,
if that's down in New York City, I still haven't been
able
to.
Is the one going on during the time that we're over?
I'll have to check. Well, yeah, we'll have to check. Now that you mention that, what I was thinking, we need to get some stickers and like a batch of DVDs out so that we can get there prepared with some like stuff that we can just like go around New York sticking this stuff around as we're traveling up to you, and you know, we can give out the stickers and the DVDs when we're there in New York at the meeting or something like that. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. We should do a show from the coffee shop.
Yes. Yeah, we're definitely going to be doing, like, shows when we're there, like, together. Whoops. Just kicked my mic stand. It's going to be exciting, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
It'd definitely be fun. Yeah.
Don't know how much Planet's looking forward to it now that I've... You know, it's dawning on him.
Now that you've gone all frickin' Urban Commando?
Yeah, yeah.
It's gone all batshit crazy and stuff.
I mean, how do you think they'll look at me funny in like a Gore-Tex camouflage jacket with a camouflage German issue Bergen on my back?
Yes.
No.
No? Good.
No, not really.
That's basically my standard wear.
I probably won't even bat an eye.
Cool.
There are a decent number of military gear enthusiasts in the United States here.
Yeah, because on the trip to...
They might mistake you for a redneck.
Probably. I don't care. I mean, the thing is, the funny thing is, when I was traveling around Europe, I was proper, you know, just geared out, everything I needed, prepared, and I was catching a flight over to France, Lyon. And I was there in, I think it was Gatwick I was, in the queue for, you know, check-in. And the guy behind me asked me, he goes, I hope there isn't a bag, I hope there isn't a bomb in your bag. I'm like, what makes you say that? Alright, it's a huge Bergen, military issued, you know, camouflaged with modular pockets, modular straps and everything that you need, you know, to on your survival gear and everything like that.
And I said, you know, that's not a, it's not a, you know, a nice thing to joke about, sir. It's not at all a nice thing to say to somebody who's standing in front of you, because it could indeed be a bomb. If I was the kind of guy to carry a bomb in my bag, you wouldn't actually go up to somebody and go, is there a bomb in that bag? Because I could actually set it off, which kind of arose the attention of all the other people standing around me. And I was like, you know, it's just like ridiculous. Like, would you go up to somebody waiting for a plane, like in the queue? Everybody's kind of nervous because it's post, you know, all the kind of, you know, 9/11 stuff. It's all the post UK bombings and stuff, you know, with the kind of Bergen bombs and stuff like that. And just standing there, and the guy goes up to you and goes, oh, I hope there isn't a bomb in there. Well, what the fuck? I'm hardly going to go, yeah, actually, now that you mention it, you know.
There is. And you know, this is a bad idea.
Exactly.
You know, thank you, sir.
You've talked me out of it.
Yeah, you know, it's a good thing you mentioned it, because I was trying to get away with it, but, you know, how did you know? How did you, how, what? How the hell did you guess? Fuck.
You know, you should have turned to him.
Yeah.
And just taken your wallet, flipped it open and closed real quick, and just been like, MI5, I need to search your possessions.
Yes. Oh, man. I would have that problem because my wallet is covered in the anarchist A's.
Oh, that might be a slight
problem. Yeah, yeah. I love that wallet. It kind of sets you off when you're like buying stuff and the person takes a look at your wallet and it's covered in these anarchist A's. But when you look at me, I completely don't look like that kind of person. Like, it just confuses them slightly and they're like, wait a second, he's got that wallet. But he looks like a straight kind of, you know, down to earth psychopath. which one is he? Anyway, enough of my crazy ranting. Shit, we've just done an hour. Fuck. Wow. Any ETA on those DVDs?
ETA. Yeah, I got everything sorted out today, and then realised I was out of media.
Yeah.
You see, I just don't have any blank DVDs at the moment. So, all that will take is a short trip to PC World in the morning, and we start burning tomorrow.
Excellent.
Yeah, obviously we wanted to include episode 0 on it, but we're having a bit of trouble tracking it down, so that probably won't go on. If later on we manage to track it down, then we'll bung it on the next batch of season ones.
Yeah.
So we'll see. Don't expect it to be on there by default, because it probably won't be.
Okay.
If you find it, it's a bonus. Consider it that way.
And there will be some hidden stuff in there as well.
Sorry?
I said there will be some hidden stuff in there.
I put in some porn and... Yeah. Some MS Paint drawings that I did of people with great big cocks and things like that. I didn't really. So the first few go out to our good friend TC, who was the first buyer of this, and then we'll do a few more extra to get them in stock, and then sort out the buying process of how you can get your hands on the season 1 DVD.
Definitely.
But until we sort out the buying process, just have a word with anyone on Hacker Voice and we'll find a way.
Yeah.
So it's available.
Exactly. Now, as a general question to you, how do you think this will be a sustainable thing? Or is it just... I mean, how sustainable is this production of the seasons from your point of view?
Depends on the numbers, really. It's pretty sustainable at the minute because it's low figures.
Yeah.
But,
I mean...
It is a bit of a bugger. I mean, this is why I come home late from work.
Yeah.
Because I get access to all the tools I have there when everyone buggers off.
But that's what I'm asking, because you're doing this
like you are. And I'm just thinking, are we able to roll these out every season, you know, with the volume that we might need? If not, we might do the first two seasons like this, like we're doing now, and then see how we can do this later on, maybe outsource it or something like that. We'll see.
Yeah, it all depends on the volume. Exactly. Is the thing.
Yeah.
Because at the minute we've got a volume of as much as possible, which is like a few dozen, really.
Yeah.
Just to get some stock up, and that's fine. That's not a problem at all. If we suddenly, I don't know, become popular or something weird like that happens, then I don't want to spend all night at work bloody guillotining the DVD sheets and shit like that, you know.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I fucked a few up. Some of them are a bit wonky. Apologies in advance.
I'm glad you put that in.
Yeah, I thought I should tell people. Yeah. Come clean.
They're a bit wonky and they don't play right. But what do you expect from a private pirate DVD?
They're all blank DVDs. I couldn't be bothered to burn them. No, they're all cool. A couple of little off angle on the sleeves, but they look good.
The Hacker Voice Radio DVD is just like a DVD case with a blank DVD inside and instructions how to download and burn the DVD.
No.
It's got one text file on the DVD.
Which is a link to our website.
It's all free, noob. Go here.
I think we should have done that. And on a separate partition on the DVD is like all the rest of the seasons.
Put them there hidden.
Yeah.
Very cruel.
Yeah. Okay.
But yeah, those should start going out tomorrow.
Fantastic. That's great news. That's great news. I'm excited. If you wanna hook yourself up with one, meet me at the end of the week, Friday, the 18th, I think, of November. That's right. At the Freemasons Arms, standard place, meeting place, for the mid-month 2600 Hacker Voice meeting. And that is if you can ship them out to me in time for the mid-month. Hopefully, you will be able to.
Yeah, you'll need to send me your address and all that good stuff.
Uh-huh.
Like I say, we're going to burning process tomorrow. Mm-hmm. I've already got the cases and the sleeves all set up. So
fantastic.
It's just burn, put it in the case, burn, put it in the case, and stuff like that. That's cool.
Excellent. Okay.
So I should be able to get you a few out tomorrow.
Cool. Excellent. Okay. That's about it from me, as far as everything goes.
I think I'm all done.
Yeah. Check back for Wednesday's episode. I believe that Ionix is ready to do the second part of the freaking spectacular.
Yeah. Part 2.
Excellent.
Real world practical application.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
Just means I don't have to talk so much. Okay, well, I'm ready to close things off if you guys are.
Yep.
It's been a good episode. It's been a filler
been
episode.
Fun. It doesn't seem like an hour.
It doesn't. I mean, we could go on talking about stuff if you want to. But I might want to play some...
I really need a wee.
I want to play some Quake and check out my new background. Yeah.
Cool.
Okay. Well, good night. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you all tomorrow. And if you want to purchase one of our DVDs, they're retailing at £15. Recommended retail price. You can find them all good, reputable stores such as HMV and Argos. Tesco's are also Tesco's. You can also purchase them there. I'm kidding.
We have them manufactured by Sony, by the way.
Yeah,
so
it's got DRMs such as my own bespoke rootkit that will be installed on your machine, regardless of if you're running Amstrad PCP or if you are running XP. Just to let you guys know, your boxes get owned in more ways than one. I'm kidding. Like, how much have we sold in the past month? Let me check the records.
None.
I come up to a gross grand total of wait, what was that? Is that? Oh, it's a zero. Yeah, it's none.
Wasn't there the one?
No, he's actually returned it. He didn't even open it.
Yeah.
I'm kidding, yeah. No, there's nothing on there apart from our episodes and the little extras. So yeah, if you're interested, purchasing this, you know, the proceeds go directly back into what we do, you know, hosting, streaming, everything like that. So you're keeping us going, and yeah, it's all good. You're donating to the community,
and for that we thank you.
Excellent, we do. Well, good night from me.
And me.
And me as well.
Good night, people. Thank you for listening. Here's a bit of...
Ta-ta.
Malene from the scene.
Moves it, will come around, chasing down.